Today on Tristan Storytime, learn how the classic nursery rhyme, This Little Piggy, came to be when we read about the personalities of the five little pigs in the history of Five Little Pigs. Then a poor shoemaker gets a pleasant surprise, and some very little people make shoes for him and turn his life around. Who are they? Listen and find out. Next, a donkey acts as a big lapdog to overcome his jealousy in The Donkey and the Lapdog. But little does the donkey know that it's his size and behavior that are the problem. And finally, Edward Lear takes us on a nonsensical trip out to sea in a sieve with none other than the Jumblies. Those stories and more next. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Tristan Storytime. I'm Tristan Gardner. I'm so glad you're able to join me once again for another great episode. And as always, feel free to use your imaginations, because this is what this podcast is all about, using your imaginations. So find a seat and get comfortable, because another episode of Tristan Storytime is about to begin. Some of you may be familiar with the classic nursery rhyme, This Little Piggy, but for those of you who aren't, let me show you how it goes. This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. This little piggy had roast beef. This little piggy had none. And this little piggy cried, wee, 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 all the way home. But I'll bet none of you know the full story of the five piggies with the five very different personalities. I'll show you in the classic story called The History of Five Little Pigs. The Little Pig Who Went to Market. There was once a family of five little pigs, and Mrs. Pig, their mother, loved them all very dearly. Some of these little pigs were very good and took a great deal of trouble to please her. The eldest pig was so active and useful that he was called Mr. Pig. One day, he went to market with his cart full of vegetables, but Rusty, the donkey, began to show his bad temper before he had gone very far on the road. All the coaxing and whipping would not make him move, so Mr. Pig took him out of the shafts and, being very strong, drew the cart to market himself. When he got there, all the other pigs began to laugh, but they did not laugh so loudly when Mr. Pig told them all his struggles on the road. Mr. Pig lost no time in selling his vegetables, and very soon Rusty came trotting into the marketplace, and as he now seemed willing to take his place in the cart, Mr. Pig started for home without delay. When he got there, he told Mrs. Pig his story, and she called him her best and most worthy son. The Little Pig Who Stayed at Home. This little pig very much wanted to go with his brother. Just as he was so mischievous that he could not be trusted far away, his mother made him stay at home and told him to keep a good fire while she went out to the miller's to buy some flour. But as soon as he was alone, instead of learning his lessons, he began to tease the poor cat. Then he got to the bellows and cut the leather with a knife so as to see where the wind came from, and when he could not find this out, he began to cry. After this, he broke all his brother's toys. He forced the drumstick through the drum. He tore off the tail from the kite and then pulled off the horse's head. And then he went to the cupboard and ate the jam. When Mrs. Pig came home, she sat down by the fire, and being very tired, she soon fell asleep. No sooner had she done so than this bad little pig got a long handkerchief and tied her in her chair. But soon she awoke and found out all the mischief that he had been doing. She saw at once the damage that he had done to his brother's playthings, so she quickly brought out her thickest and heaviest birch and gave this naughty little pig such a beating as he did not forget for a long time. The Little Pig Who Had Roast Beef. This little pig was a very good and careful fellow. He gave his mother scarcely any trouble, and always took a pleasure in doing all she bade him. Here you see him sitting down with clean hands and face to some nice roast beef. While his brother, the idle pig, who is standing on a stool in the corner with the dunce's cap on, has none. He sat down and quietly learned his lesson, and asked his mother to hear him repeat it. And this he did so well that Mrs. Pig stroked him on the ears and forehead and called him a good little pig. After this, he asked her to allow him to help her make tea. He brought everything she wanted and lifted off the kettle from the fire without spilling a drop either on his toes or the carpet. By and by, he went out, after asking his mother's leave, to play with his hoop. He had not gone far when he saw an old blind pig who, with his hat in his hand, was crying at the loss of his dog. So he put his hand in his pocket and found a halfpenny which he gave to the poor old pig. It was for such thoughtful conduct as this that his mother often gave this little pig roast beef. We now come to The Little Pig Who Had None. This was a most obstinate and willful little pig. His mother had set him to learn his lesson. But no sooner had she gone out into the garden than he tore his book into pieces. When his mother came back, he ran off into the streets to play with other idle little pigs like himself. After this, he quarreled with one of the pigs and got a sound thrashing. Being afraid to go home, he stayed out till it was quite dark and caught a severe cold. So he was taken home and put to bed, and had to take a lot of nasty physic. And finally, the little pig who cried, "Wee, wee, wee!" all the way home. This little pig went fishing. Now, he had been told not to go into Farmer Grumpy's grounds, who did not allow anyone to fish in his part of the river. But in spite of what he had been told, this foolish little pig went there. He soon caught a very large fish, and while he was trying to carry it home, Farmer Grumpy came running along with his great whip. He quickly dropped the fish, but the farmer caught him, and as he laid his whip over his back for some time, the little pig ran off, crying, "Wee, wee, wee!" all the way home. Now we know the full history of the five little pigs and how this classic nursery rhyme came to be. I just love reading stories, don't you? You're listening to Tristan's Storytime. Sometimes circumstances come from no fault of our own. Of course, if you've been following the news of the COVID-19 pandemic all this time, you would believe that that would be an understatement. So now I believe would be an opportune time for me to read this classic fairy tale. And this one is called The Elves and the Shoemaker. There was once a shoemaker who, through no fault of his own, had become so poor that at last he had only enough leather left for one pair of shoes. At evening, he cut out the shoes which he intended to begin upon the next morning. And since he had a good conscience, he lay down quietly, said his prayers, and fell asleep. In the morning, when he had prayed as usual and was preparing to sit down to work, he found the pair of shoes standing finished on his table. He was amazed and could not understand it in the least. He took the shoes in his hand to examine them more closely. They were so neatly sewn that not a stitch was out of place, and were as good as the work of a master hand. Soon after, a purchaser came in, and as he was so pleased with the shoes, he paid more than the ordinary price for them, so that the shoemaker was able to buy leather for 2 pairs with the money. He cut them out in the evening, and the next day, with fresh courage, was about to go to work. But he had no need to, for when he got up, the shoes were finished, and buyers were not lacking. These gave him so much money that he was able to buy leather for 4 pairs of shoes. Early the next morning, he found the 4 pairs finished, and so it went on. What he cut out at evening was finished in the morning, so that he was soon again in comfortable circumstances and became a well-to-do man. Now it happened one evening not long before Christmas, when he had cut out shoes as usual, that he said to his wife, "How would it be if we were to sit up tonight to see who it is that it lends us such a helping hand?" The wife agreed, lighted a candle, and they hid themselves in the corner of the room behind the clothes which were hanging there. At midnight came 2 little naked men, who sat down at the shoemaker's table, took up the cutout work, and began with their tiny fingers to stitch, sew, and hammer so neatly and quickly that the shoemaker could not believe his eyes. They did not stop till everything was quite finished and stood complete on the table. Then they ran swiftly away. The next day the wife said,
"The little men have made us rich, and we ought to show our gratitude. They run about with nothing on and must freeze with cold. Now I will make them little shirts, coats, waistcoats, and hose, and will even knit them stout stockings, and you shall make them each a pair of shoes."
The husband agreed. And that evening, when they had everything ready, they laid out the presents on the table and hid themselves to see how the little men would behave. At midnight, they came skipping in and were about to set to work. But instead of the leather ready cut out, they found the charming little clothes. At first they were surprised, then excessively delighted. With the greatest speed they put on and smoothed down the pretty clothes, singing,
"Now we're dressed so fine and neat, why cobble more for others' feet?"
Then they hopped and danced about, and leaped over chairs and tables, and out at that door. Henceforward they came no more. But the shoemaker fared well as long as he lived, and had good luck in all his undertakings. And now here's the moral that everyone should keep in mind, and one that I've been keeping in mind for years. And the moral is that hard work is the secret to making dreams and wishes come true. That's something I will certainly remember for a long time to come. There's more adventure just around the bend. You're listening to Tristan Storytime. It doesn't really matter how big or small you are. What really matters is how you behave. And what habits you should and shouldn't do. I'm going to tell the story of a donkey who tried to act like a dog, and it's all in The Donkey and the Lapdog by Aesop. There was once a donkey whose master also owned a lapdog. This dog was a favorite and received many a pat and kind word from his master, as well as choice bits from his plate. Every day, the dog would run to meet the master, frisking playfully about and leaping up to lick his hands and face. All this the donkey saw with much discontent. Though he was well fed, he had much work to do. Besides, the master hardly ever took any notice of him. Now, the jealous donkey got it into his silly head that all he had to do to win his master's favor was to act like the dog. So one day, he left his stable and clattered eagerly into the house. Finding his master seated at the dinner table, he kicked up his heels and with a loud bray pranced giddily around the table, upsetting it as he did so. Then he planted his forefeet on his master's knees and rolled out his tongue to lick the master's face, as he had seen the dog do. But his weight upset the chair, and donkey and man rolled over together in the pile of broken dishes from the table. The master was much alarmed at the strange behavior of the donkey, and calling for help soon attracted the attention of the servants. When they saw the danger the master was in from the clumsy beast, they set upon the donkey and drove him with kicks and blows back to the stable. There they left him to mourn the foolishness that had brought him nothing but a sound beating. And the moral of the fable is, behavior that is regarded as agreeable in one is very rude and impertinent in another. Or in other words, do not try to gain favor by acting in a way that is contrary to your own nature and character. Have you ever been inside a bakery before? Well, if you haven't, I can guarantee you that there are many delicious things to eat in there, like bread, cookies, cakes, and of course, muffins, made by the Muffin Man himself. And that brings us to this very famous question. Do you know the Muffin Man? Which just happens to be the name of today's nursery rhyme as well. So I invite you to join in as we sing along to Do You Know the Muffin Man? Go away. Tristan Storytime will continue. You may recall another nonsensical poem called The Owl and the Pussycat, where an owl marries a pussycat. This poem will also be nonsensical, for the protagonists choose to go out to sea in a literal sense, but they go against the opinions of their peers. And this classic poem by Edward Lear should help clear the air, or sea in this case. And the poem is called The Jumblies by Edward Lear. They went to sea in a sieve, they did, in a sieve they went to sea, in spite of all their friends could say, on a winter's morn, on a stormy day, in a sieve they went to sea. And when the sieve turned round and round, and everyone cried, "You'll all be drowned!" They cried aloud, "Our sieve ain't big, but we don't care a button, we don't care a fig. In a sieve we'll go to sea." Far and few, are the lands where the Jumblies live. Their heads are green and their hands are blue, and they went to sea in a sieve. They sailed away in a sieve, they did. In a sieve they sailed so fast. With only a beautiful pea-green veil, tied with a ribbon by way of a sail, to a small tobacco pipe mast. And everyone said, who saw them go,
"Oh, won't they be soon upset, you know? For the sky is dark, and the voyage is long, and happen what may, it's extremely wrong, in a sieve to sail so fast."
Far and few, are the lands where the Jumblies live. Their heads are green and their hands are blue, and they went to sea in a sieve. The water, it soon came in, it did. The water, it soon came in. So to keep them dry, they wrapped their feet in a pinky paper all folded neat, and they fashioned it down with a pin. And they passed the night in a crockery jar, and each of them said,
"How wise we are! Though the sky be dark and the voyage be long, yet we never can think we were rash or wrong, while round in our sieve we spin."
Far and few, are the lands where the Jumblies live. Their heads are green and their hands are blue, and they went to sea in a sieve. And all night long they sailed away, and when the sun went down, they whistled and warbled a moony song to the echoing sound of a coppery gong in the shade of the mountains brown.
"Oh, Timballo, how happy we are when we live in a sieve and a crockery jar. And all night long in the moonlight pale, we sail away with a pea-green sail in the shade of the mountains brown."
Far and few, are the lands where the Jumblies live. Their heads are green and their hands are blue, and they went to sea in a sieve. They sailed to the western sea, they did, to a land all covered with trees. And they bought an owl and a useful cart, and a pound of rice and a cranberry tart, and a hive of silvery bees. And they bought a pig and some green jackdaws, and a lovely monkey with lollipop paws, and 40 bottles of Ringbow Ree, and no end of Stilton cheese. Far and few, are the lands where the Jumblies live. Their heads are green and their hands are blue, and they went to sea in a sieve. And in 20 years they all came back, in 20 years or more. And everyone said,
"How tall they've grown! For they've been to the lakes and the Torrible Zone, and the hills of the Chankly Boar."
And they drank their health and gave them a feast of dumplings made of beautiful yeast. And everyone said,
"If we only live, we too will go to sea in a sieve, to the hills of the Chankly Boar."
Far and few, are the lands where the Jumblies live. Their heads are green and their hands are blue, and they went to sea in a sieve. Boy, those were some great stories that we read today, weren't they? But we've just come to the end of another great show. Did you enjoy it? I know I did. Leave a comment on the Tristan Storytime Facebook page and Twitter feed. And don't forget to follow Tristan Storytime on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Oh, and hey, if you missed a great story from the past, you're in luck, because you get to see great videos of some of the stories I read in the past every Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. on social media. Music and sound effects are included. And if you want to get in touch with me, that's also very easy. Just send an email to TristanStorytime@gmail.com and I'll be in touch with you lickety-split. Well, it's time for me to go, but I'll be back again to read some more great stories to you. Until next time, I'm Tristan Gardner. Thank you for listening, and God bless, my friends. And remember, keep using your imaginations. Today's stories and nursery rhymes are The History of Five Little Pigs, taken from the book My First Picture Book by Joseph Martin Cronheim, published in 1871 by George Routledge and Sons. The Elves and the Shoemaker, taken from the book Childhood's Favorites and Fairy Stories, edited by Hamilton Wright Mabey, Edward Everett Hale, and William Byron Forbush. Editing assistance by Jenny Ellis Burdick. Published in 1927 by the University Society, Incorporated. The Donkey and the Lapdog, taken from the book The Aesop for Children by Aesop, Pictures by Milo Winter. Published in 1919 by Rand McNally and Company. Do You Know the Muffin Man? Originally published in 1820. Music arrangement by the Green Orbs. The Jumblies. Taken from the book The Jumblies and Other Nonsense Verses by Edward Lear. Illustrated by Leonard Leslie Brooke. Published in 1874 by Frederick Warren and Company.